to the Godfathers of Podcasting, broadcasting live on the Shuly Network every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Now, in case y'all didn't know, they've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. Archives of this show are available on every major podcast provider, and you can find video archives, merch, and more on their website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. Now, here are your hosts, two guys who have been broadcasting online since 1996. The Godfathers of Podcasting themselves, Donnie Da Silva and Chris Tidwell.
I'm Donnie, that's Tid. We are the Godfathers. What's going on, everybody? We are live right now. It is 8:04 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, Tid. How the fuck are you?
Fantastic. Doing really good. Thank you to everybody who's joining us in the chat. Hello to you all. Thank you to the Shuly Network for putting up with us this long and continuing to do so. It's been a crazy, hectic week, Donnie.
Really? Why so? I don't know why. I haven't talked to you this week.
Yeah, I know. And that's why you're spending your entire time doing other things right now.
I know. I'm literally like multitasking while we're trying to get on the show.
This is what live is all about, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, American Cupcake. Hello, Quinn. Hello, Stacy. Hello, Jack the Tripper. Hello, Tiff. And hello to everybody else. I'm just running through. Hello, Hamhead. Hello to Donkey Kongington, who's been sitting here since 7:30, which, you know, cheers to you.
That's longer than I've been here.
Thank you so much for all of that.
Jack the Tripper is probably my favorite handle. I just got to say,
really,
as a John Ritter Three's Company mark, my favorite.
All right,
so kudos to that dude. So what the hell had you so busy this week, dude? I have no clue.
A lot of personal stuff was happening. I now run two shops basically instead of
the regular job you're talking about.
Yeah. A lot of shoot stuff, a lot of all of that, and plus, you know, everything else is going on. New episode of Tid Talk over on my site, on my YouTube channel. Go ahead, check it out at Tid Talk on YouTube. Also, new episodes of Mare Wanderers came out. It's just been, it's been busy. Plus, it's been good weather, so I want to get outside, you know what I mean, and enjoy the weather. But holy crap, we spent a lot of time doing this kind of stuff. So, you know.
Yeah.
And yes, Stacy, Three's Company was the best. But I mean, okay, so let's talk really quick. One quick question to everybody out there and you, Donnie.
Yeah.
Favorite landlord?
Oh, you got to go Roper.
Furley. Really? Great. No, see, I go Furley all day.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because that was a dude who was 108 still trying to get his game going.
But Roper had the horny wife that he was always shooting down, and great.
They were able to split it up. That means that they weren't as good a fucking singles wrestler, right? They stuck him in a tag team to try to fucking carry one another. That's how.
Yeah, they were the Avengers as opposed to a solo movie.
You know, this is how it goes. Furley was, if you would have stuck somebody else with Furley, come on,
I wouldn't have been able to hang. I loved Mr. Roper, dude.
Really?
Yeah, I thought he was money. I was sad when they had to, but that show had so many changes, right? Like, which was your favorite third roommate? I mean, you have to say Suzanne Summers, but
do I?
I don't know. Do you?
Because what was the other one? Chrissy? I think she was a little bit more like the cousin that came in or something. Yeah,
Chrissy. And then there wasn't there a Tori? Or she was going to say by the bell.
I don't know. I think she was a little bit more handsy. You know what I mean?
A little Tori bit more handsy.
What she wore. The other Chrissy.
Yeah, Chrissy was a little bit of a dirtier girl.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Chrissy liked to get down a little more.
Stacy says there was Terry the nurse.
Oh, Terry, not Tori. Tori was Saved by the Bell.
There you go.
Yeah, that's how much of a nerd I am. I love that show. And if anyone here wants to join us in the chat and talk about their favorite Three's Company episode, I will be happy to talk about it on the air. My favorite one.
You here yet?
Yeah, I'm here, dude. My favorite episode of Three's Company is the one where there was like the misunderstanding, and there was like some sexual double entendre, and then it caused like a big ruckus.
You mean every episode? And they just went down to the bar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the best. Best episode. The best episode was all the episode.
Right?
Look at that, man.
Yeah. Brian Kowalczyk says, I'm 43 and I still feel 10 years too young for this. Well, you know what?
You're not.
Have some edibles. Put on your fucking YouTube. Go back in time for a second. This is a history lesson.
Or go on your phone and download the app called Pluto, where you get all that retro TV for free, motherfucker. Like, it's all there. Stop denying yourself. There's nothing on TV right now better. Just go get it.
Don't make me start talking about Alf up in this motherfucker. Seriously.
Hey.
Fucking love right. Better than anything in this fucking time.
How about we switch gears and introduce tonight's guest?
You do that.
All right, I will. It's time night right now, ladies and gentlemen, for the big hello. The first time this man appeared on our show, it was when he was hanging out over at Russell Peters' place. Russell was our guest, but he was very sleepy and he forgot about the interview. So while he collected himself, he pushed the camera over to his buddy, and his buddy talked to us and told us about the best time he ever bombed on stage. We fucking loved him, and he's been back on the show time after time after time, and he's turned into one of our favorite guests. He's originally from the Bronx in New York, but he's been living it up in California for a while now because snow is bullshit. Former boxing champion turned cop turned stand-up comedian and award-winning writer-director. Now, because of the ongoing writer's strike, we probably should be careful about what we plug and talk about, but fuck it, we're going to talk about it anyway because we're dicks. His latest short, Meet Los Parents, has already won 35 awards. His 2021 short, Beautiful Violence, has won 156. Take that, Francis Ford Coppola. Now, I've done three different rhymes introducing this man in the past, playing off his last name, and motherfucker, I'm all out of rhymes, but the weather's real hot and it's not even snowy. His career's even hotter, making classics like Bowie. He's a real humble dude and not too showy. We're proud to say he's become our homie. Now give it up for Mr. Medina, first name Joey.
Oh shit, that was
I remixed it.
I liked it.
It only took him 149 episodes to be able to go, oh, I'm going to put the last name before the first name.
There's only so many rhymes with Medina, you know, and I use them all.
Yeah, Medina, Wiener, Pasadena, La Medina, they're not the best.
How you doing, brother? It's so good to connect with you again.
Thank you. And it's so good to having me. This is actually, I'm on a lot on different podcasts, but this is always actually my favorite. You guys ask great questions. You're regular dudes. It's fun. It's cool. Your audience is great. So, here we are one more time. I love it.
Checks in the mail, man. Thank you so much. So let me ask you, I teased it in the intro. You and I talked briefly about this earlier today. What's life like for you right now with the strike going on?
Well, it's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. It doesn't affect my writing because I'm technically a content producer and not a writer, even though I am a writer. So that doesn't affect that. It does affect my acting for SAG, right? So no more auditions, none of that stuff. But there's a lot of loopholes, the loopholes are just perfect for people like myself who do independent stuff. Because the big beef, the unions have is with the studios and the networks, right, not with independent producers. So there's still a lot of independent shows happening, going on. Game shows are still good, which I write for. Game shows are good. Reality shows are still happening.
Hold on, I got to pause there. What is writing for a game show consist of?
All their jokes, everything. Okay. For instance,
wait a second. Are you telling me that those people aren't naturally funny?
No. Sorry. they're actually very funny, except they're not funny. See, the thing is this: when you're doing television, obviously, right? You have to be funny on the spot. You got to be funny when you know. Right. You can't think about it. You can't sit around. And then just because it's funny, we may not be able to air it because it's censors, right? So shows like, Funny You Should Ask, Hollywood Squares, anything that has any kind of like trivia, whatever, if there's any kind of comedy in it whatsoever, it's all written. All of it is written.
Can you write jokes for hacky podcast intros?
Probably, because I write really cheesy, hacky jokes for a game show. So
I've learned some of those, man.
Okay, I'll give you some.
I'll recycle shit. I'll be Dane Cook up in here.
Well, it's funny. It's like all the jokes that I write for the game show is they're just like bad jokes, you know. And it's
right.
And it was never my style. I could never write that way until I started working on that show. Now I write that way all the time, which is weird because I don't know how to use some of that for my set because it's completely different. It's just like, you know, I'm doing my regular set and all of a sudden I'll start doing one-liners. They're like, where did that come from? So it's kind of just interesting, but I like doing it. It's another exercise, another way to write, another way to do stuff. And it makes me sharper and faster. So I write even faster than I used to.
I feel like the last time we had a writer's strike, I forget the year, 08 maybe?
Yeah, it was around 08, 07, 08, something like that.
There was a massive boom of reality TV.
Yeah.
Like we had Survivor, we had Big Brother, and then all of a sudden it's like everything on TV is reality because fuck a writer, fuck an actor.
Yeah.
And then it's just like reality mania and we've never looked back since. Do you think this strike is going to explode that genre even further?
Yeah, I think it's going to definitely add on to it. And I also think it's people are really, not when I say people, I'm talking about studios. I think they're really investing into AI now because if they can do things without actors, guess what? They're making more money. Now, you know, obviously someone like Tom Cruise, you can't get Tom Cruise unless you got Tom Cruise, right? But if there was some kind of weird, you know, AI kind of thing where you can replace, you can have Tom Cruise in the movie, which there is. I mean, the technology does exist. You can have him in the movie without him being actually in the movie. Then, you know, then all bets are off. Things are really going to get screwed up.
I literally just watched episode 1, season 6 of Black Mirror
yesterday. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The one with Selma Hayek, right?
Selma Hayek and Annie Murphy.
Perfect example.
Fucking great. If you haven't seen it, I just got onto Black Mirror. Like I've been asleep, and so well done. And it talks about the pitfalls and the trapping of this AI integration into Hollywood. Right. And it seems like a fucked up story, but it's not entirely implausible.
No, it can happen. I mean, it's kind of happened. I mean, you're already, you know, seeing these, these deep fake things.
Yeah.
And they look great. Like I watched one where they put Arnold Schwarzenegger's face on all these other movies. And it's hilarious because it sounds like him, it looks like him, but obviously it's another movie. And it's just like they can just keep doing that. I guess one of the problems SAG was having was they don't want them to do, they don't want them to, let's say, own your image and then use it without you, which I think is a great idea, you know. So it's because if they have your image and they don't need you anymore, they'll just keep making movie after movie with you in it and never pay you.
Yeah. Did you see Stephen Amell's comments this week about the strike?
No.
Ted, you want to recap what Canadian actor Green Arrow, the star of Heels, what he had to say about the strike?
Yeah, basically paraphrasing was like Stephen Amell went on and said that like he stands with SAG. I mean, right. You don't really have a choice if you're paying your membership dues, but he disagrees on the striking. I mean, like, I don't understand what it is that he thinks you're supposed to do once you sit down, you talk, one side says this is what we want, the other side says no, and then what do you do?
Yeah, you got to do something. You absolutely have to do something.
Now, I mean, this is also coming from a guy who's still collecting pretty good residuals to live on while all of this is, you know what I mean, going on right now, right?
Yeah, he's not missing any rent payments.
Now, that being said, there have been a lot of A-listers who have been donating a lot of, you know, I don't have to pay this to the government tax money back over to help all of these guys kind of get through, right? So hopefully it turns out better. Hopefully, in my opinion, I could see it before going the AI way. I can see a lot of people maybe signing over with a lot of Chinese production companies because they're still going to be making films and they've got a shit ton of money to get rid of. I think you might see some of that happening first, but listen.
But if I'm not mistaken, his show is on network. Am I right?
Heels. What channel, guys? Our producers, can someone look up what channel Heels is on?
I think it's one of those ones. Stars. It's on Stars. Yeah, which is like a step up from PBS.
Yeah, but it's some. But is it Heels or is it? Was it a Green Arrow?
But that's done.
Green Arrow is done. He's doing a new pro wrestling.
That was on Green CW. Arrow.
Okay, well then, I mean, once you do network, the money and the residuals is so much better. The main problem is with streaming because there's really the residuals are really weak. So now that everything is streaming, you know, it's really hard. So people think, oh, he's got a nice gig. Like, I did two TV shows not too long ago, and they were actually during COVID. I did Station 19, which is a drama, and I did The Neighborhood, which is a comedy, a sitcom. But they were both network shows, and I made good money on them. And, and the residuals come up every once in a while, and the money's still good. But if they were a streaming show, the residuals would be garbage.
Speaking of making some money and paying some bills, I'm going to read a couple of these super chats and get them out the way so that we don't forget about them, if you don't mind, guys.
Yeah, what are the people saying?
Tiff, thank you so much for the $10. Love you, boys, and we love you right back.
Thank you, Tiff.
King of all dabblers, $2. I love Tid. I can't fault you for that. And discount David Blaine.
Is that me?
Well, who else would it be? I'm fucking
discount David Blaine?
Fucking Mexican David Blaine down here. Is this what we were trying to tell me?
I mean, I would have gone for Portuguese Joey Medina, but you know,
nobody will go for Portuguese Joey Medina.
Discount David Blaine ain't bad. That ain't bad. Right? I'll be the great value version.
Hamhead says right here, welcome to Metallica's world, bitches. This is why musicians went after Napster.
Yeah. You ain't wrong, right? Buddy. You ain't wrong. Listen, everybody, hold on one second. We've got a surprise run-in. We've got a surprise guest joining us right now. Joey, we were just talking, ironically, about reality TV. And here, just recovered from last night's Big Brother premiere event. You remember her from last season of Big Brother, where she was definitely one of my favorites. She's a former guest on this show. The Butcher Goddess, the chef herself. It's Nicole. How are you, sweetie?
I'm good. How are you? Hello, boys. How's it going?
Hey, you got to turn your thing sideways so we get more Nicole.
Oh, my bad.
Sorry. Yeah. We don't need no black. There we go.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Sorry. See, Joey, I'm a director too.
I like that.
I have to make sure I get the Mark Long in there since, you know, he's.
I've said that before.
Sorry.
Is that a game show joke, Joey?
The whole nine. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Nicole from Big Brother, meet stand up comic and award winning film director, Joey Medina.
Joey Medina.
Hi, Nicole.
So great to meet you. I'm a huge fan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Now I'm a fan of yours, so it's perfect.
It was a pleasant surprise coming on here and seeing your face. I was like, oh, okay, that's what we're doing. Got it.
That's what's up. Nice. Nicole literally just messaged me and said, hey, can I come on? We're like, fuck, sure, why not?
Yeah.
Okay, so give us the lowdown. What was last night's Big Brother premiere party like? I saw some people that posted video from the event. It looked like it was quite the well-attended soiree.
It was very well attended. You have to remember, too, this is going to be, for Big Brother 24, our first outing as a cast. Obviously, right. There were some missing faces. Some people did not attend. And so, you know, for the most part, it's just one of those things where you can't determine what's going to happen. It's, you know, it's reality TV. So aside from that, Aza from Big Brother 23 she started doing these House of Chops like watch parties last season, and she decided to do a premiere party featured Give Kids the World Village in Orlando and our charity group called Hearts of Reality, where we, you know, we raise money for these kids who are all part of this camp in Orlando, and it basically provides a family a week of basically a make-a-wish for the entire week, and they get to go to this village in Orlando, and it's like a mini Disney World. Some of these kids can't even, you know, leave their wheelchair, leave their room, because they're on constant medication, but what the village provides is they give them basically like resort-style living on the property, and they have, it's the coolest thing I've ever seen. Anyway.
You know what? So send me the link for that, and we'll put it up on godfathersofpodcasting.com for everybody.
Okay. That'll be awesome. I'll totally do that.
I need to know.
Sidetrack.
I need to know who hooked up with who last night. Stop fucking around, Nicole. Give me the shit.
Mean, I definitely didn't hook up with anybody, because we already know that.
You're everybody's mom. I know.
The solo lesbian forever.
You're literally the lesbian mom in the house.
Oh yeah. I mean, well, let's
babysitting.
Go with lesbian Titi. Apparently, like, now I'm the auntie. So we're just going to go with lesbian auntie and call it a day. But what was really cool, Azza put together a lip sync battle the day before the premiere. Okay. And so there was Big Brother, Survivor, Love Island, 90 Day Fiance, and Jersey Shore. People performed from all of those shows and they killed it. Like, killed it. This girl, Tiffany Chantel from Amazing Race, she did a J-Lo performance. I can't even tell you, like, I'm pretty sure there were points where I was like, yeah, she's hotter than J-Lo. Like, it was amazing. And then Big Brother killed it. So, but it was pretty cool. That was pretty awesome.
Joey, how was your last lip sync battle?
Oh, it was tough. It was tough.
Yeah.
It was very tough. Yeah.
What'd you think?
Well, you know, it doesn't matter because I suck. But
you know what, Joey? Here's an interesting crossover. A lot of Big Brother alumni have gone to compete in celebrity boxing matches where they've done Big Brother Canada versus Big Brother US boxing. A friend of the show who's been on a few times, Godfrey Menzwiga, the Nigerian lady pleaser, he's done that before, gotten in the ring. Would you, Joey Medina, as a former boxing champion, walk through those ropes and do a celebrity fight?
Oh, absolutely. I was trying to get one done years ago with Danny Bonaducci.
Oh,
I had
whipped his ass.
Yeah,
that would have been amazing.
I would have had fun. I had a morning show in LA. It was tied with Big Boy, and it was and then Danny Bonaducci had a morning show. So, you know, I hit him up. I'm like, because he was fighting all these guys that don't know how to fight at all. He was beating them up, right? And I'm like, dude, fight somebody that knows how to fight. So I hit his people up. My people hit his people up, right? And it was just, but they didn't take it at all. They were like, nope. Like, it was a fast no. And I was like, come on, that'll be fun. But I would have had to knock him out within 30 seconds. Otherwise, I would have been so tired. I would have been like, all right, let's talk about this. Let's be friends.
Yeah. If it's getting out of the first round, you're like, fuck it.
Pretty much like every other celebrity boxing match that we've ever seen.
But I would have looked really good for that first round. I would have looked amazing. Yeah.
Does the level of celebrity for your opponent matter? Like, if they're a D-lister, do you still want to fight them?
Yeah, but then it doesn't matter if you win. It's like it's like fighting someone who's mentally ill. You're like, yeah, I won, but the guy had Down syndrome.
You know Although, I mean? You know what? That's almost like a no-win situation. If you lose to like a D-level celebrity, it's like,
I don't know. Fuck. Oh, have women boxed in that, Donnie?
Yeah, there's been a few of them. I can't remember off the top of my head. There was a few though. I know Christmas was going to, and then she didn't. Christmas is actually going to join us on the show.
She does it on the streets.
Yeah, Christmas will just fuck you up in the hood.
Like, no, there's video. I can't wait to talk to her about this one when she comes on the show next time. Because there's video. there's like video her and her boyfriend in the news got like into it, her husband. No, but I think it was boyfriend at the time that it happened. Got into a bit of a tussle outside.
Well, that's an old story. That's an old story.
Still going to court though, apparently.
Oh yeah. Well, we'll talk to Christmas about that next week, and Nicole will probably fucking run in again.
I mean, I'm down. Listen, I ran into Memphis on Sunday while I was at brunch, and he was with Bobby from Below Deck, and there was this moment where I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, is this my life? Like, I'm like, this is so wild. And then obviously being in New York, and now, mind you, I wasn't a huge boy band, like, follower, but I did love NSYNC. The fact that I hung out with Chris Kirkpatrick for like 2 days,
that's pretty cool.
Like, was like a childhood dream come true, and he is the coolest guy. He knew who I was. He was like blowing me kisses, and he was like,
yeah, he's a Big Brother super fan.
Get over here. And like, you know, I think if I wasn't a lesbian, I would have tried to hook up with Chris Kirkpatrick.
You tried anyway, didn't you?
He was probably saying the same thing.
Well, he did say he wished he was a lesbian, and I was like, I don't know how that's going to work.
Nicole, listen, thanks for coming to hang out with us. Let's do this. Come back in a few weeks.
Okay.
I kind of like this. This is a little serendipitous because we just said the first time Joey was on this show, he did a run-in during Russell Peters' interview. Now you're doing a run-in during Joey's interview. So it's kind of like, you know, a cyclical, like, beautiful trinity of life thing here.
Yes, it's all fun. It's all good.
I absolutely love it.
Come back in a few weeks, and we got to preview the fucking NFL season, because I know you're a huge football head.
Oh, let's not talk about OBJ, but also let's talk about OBJ. So I'll be prepared. And if you can give me some things to do my research, because fantasy is coming up, and I'm going to have to, like, get my brain ready for that.
Are you a big fantasy football head?
Only for one group of people. Like, if I had to do it with people who actually knew what the hell they were doing, I'd be the biggest fuck.
Do you remember to set your lineup at least?
Yeah. There's like an alarm.
There's a minimum to be in in a league. You know what I mean? And that's
always the worst. The problem with that is that when there's games in London or games in another country, I'm like, shit. I'm like, I'm not fucking paying attention. Like, I end up with like six people benched or six people not even playing because I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, fantasy basketball is the worst. That's a daily job.
Ooh, that's a daily. Horrible.
Yeah, I know. I don't think I'm going to play this year. It took too much time the last few years.
Yeah, no thanks. Anyway.
My queen, we'll talk to you soon.
My kings. Bye, boys.
See ya. See you guys.
Check her out. Fucking kicked her out. Love it. You can check her out on Instagram. She's the future goddess. The Butcher Goddess on Instagram, and she's always posting cool shit and some behind the scenes stuff from all the cool events that she gets to check out and all the celebs she gets to hang with.
You're the best.
We'll see you soon, buddy.
I'll see you guys soon. Take care.
Bye, Nicole. Right,
now back to our regularly scheduled program with Joey Medina.
That was fun. She seemed very nice.
She's a cool woman. We really like her.
The Shuly Network has a question here, guys. What kind of, we, even though they misspelled it, we kind of low life would fight Danny Bonaducci?
What kind of low life would fight Danny Bonaducci?
Apparently me.
Wait, is Danny alive?
Yeah, I think he's sick though now. This was when he was healthy and doing good. Yeah, I didn't want to fight him when he was sick. That would be weird.
What's the minimum you'll take to do a fight? What's the minimum pay you'll take to do a fight, Joey? We're starting to know a few people that have like a certain level of status, you know what I mean, in the entertainment industry, and they got a lot of anger.
It would depend on how much and how long and all that other stuff.
I think the Godfathers of podcasting are going to have to put on a pay-per-view.
They did something in LA a few years ago. It was right at the beginning of COVID, or right before COVID, actually, where they had comedians fight each other just for the hell of it. So I volunteered, and I was going to fight a guy, a hilarious comic named Dannon Green. And he's he did box before, so he had experience. So we both were training, and then he pulled out, and I was happy because I was like, good, I don't have to keep training, because I was good for like a round and a half. And I'm thinking, I'm gonna have to try to knock this guy out fast. And then didn't happen. And then they were going to do it again, and I was going to fight this other guy, and then COVID really hit hard, and everything was canceled.
But so I was back in the gym. Three two-minute rounds. The reason I asked this is because, like, they already had, like, the, you mentioned the Danny Bonaducci thing, and there is, as soon as you mentioned it, I know that they mentioned it in the back, but, you know, Danny Bonaducci, if I'm not mistaken, had a fight with Bob Levy in the ring.
Oh, my God. Bob Levy versus Joey Medina.
I'm down. You know, it, all right. I did it for a living. I mean, I'll do it again. You know, the funny thing is, you know, I'm not one of, and I've never been one of those guys that talk shit. So, you know, if I'm fight anybody, I'm going to be their buddy the whole time until we hit the ring, you know, I'm like, I don't care. I don't have anything negative to say about anybody or anything, because the bottom line, it doesn't matter. As soon as that bell rings, all that matters is
so what you need. Who's not. So you need a manager is what you're saying. You need a mouthpiece to be able to sell the fight then, right?
Yes. I'll have both of you guys in my corner along with Russell
nobody
Peters.
Nobody will see you.
Hold on. Nicole is not the only surprise guest we have this week. I'm being told uh-oh. Bob Levy is joining us right now. Bob,
oh, there we go.
What are your thoughts on Joey Medina's challenge?
I didn't challenge anybody. You guys are doing all the challenging.
He's just laughing at it. You might want to turn that button up.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Wow, way to kill the bit. Oh my goodness.
Oh well. I think that'd be fun, man. I think that'd be fun as hell. Not a lot of celebrities out there even know how to throw a damn punch, so I think that'd be fun to see at least once.
That's half the fun, the aura of watching it. You know what I mean?
But then it puts someone like me though in a bad position, right? Because if I lose, it's like, oh, look at him. He got beat up by an actor. Or he got beat up by somebody. And if I win, they're like, oh, he used to be a professional boxer. Of course, he's gonna win.
How tall are you, Joey?
5'7".
Okay, that's perfect. Stuttering John is 5'8".
All right. That's a fair fight, right?
Yeah. And we're both Puerto Rican, so that'll be a really good fight.
Stuttering John's Puerto Rican?
Yes.
I know.
I'm almost positive. Well,
do they still own him, though? Like, do they still, like, fess up that, like, he's one of
them? Claim him?
Do they claim him? Is what I meant to say, not own him. That's a different thing. Do they claim him at all?
Who knows?
He's a Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican. So him and I both, we will enter the ring all flashy with all kinds of, you know, tassels on our shoes and a robe.
He would talk
a
big game. He would talk a big game and then not show up. He would say there was traffic on the way to the arena or something.
Well, I think Stuttering John is a big enough whore that if the price was right, he would show up. Like, there's no doubt about it. You say whore
like it's a bad thing.
I will never, ever use the name whore in a bad way.
The guys threw up a story on the screen a minute ago, and we just blew right by it. Celebrity boxing story, actually. Guys, you want to throw that up there again? KSI? What's the story, Tid?
So KSI, it looks like he is going to fight. Like, KSI, very famous YouTuber over the years, right? Does mm-hmm. the Prime thing with one of the Logan Paul brothers, Logan Paul. Doing very well, worth a lot of money, but still has his own boxing thing going on. And it looks like after the Jake Paul, Tommy Fury being, I mean, it comes from pro boxing lineage. He's, you know, one of the Furies, so to speak. But but really, he got his fame from being a reality show guy, basically a Big Brother type guy over in England, right? But everybody thinks that he's a more of a legit boxer because he's had actual boxing matches. So they're going to do one of these big crossover matches, and this seems to be the thing that's putting eyes back into boxing. You know what I mean? It's been going on for quite some time. Thankfully, do you still watch boxing, Joey?
Yeah, I love boxing.
Did you see the fight this past weekend? The Crawford fight?
A great
clinic.
Fight.
a clinic Terrence Crawford put on against a young Errol Spence Jr. that you thought, I for one thought that he was going to do a lot better than he did. You know what I mean? So boxing is getting a lot more eyes on it. So, I mean, let's figure out the number that it's going to take to get you in the ring, because we don't know how long this strike is going to go on. Right?
No kidding.
You can film it and release it as a documentary.
There you go. I like it. I'm down, man. I really love fighting and I love boxing. And the last time I sparred, which was right before COVID, I looked good. You know, I just looked good for only one round, but I looked good for that round.
And everybody says that till they get hit.
Exactly. So, see, that's the thing. I have an advantage. Like, I know how it is to get hit. I know how it is to hit. I know tricks in the ring. I know someone who doesn't, you know, who's only boxing just to have fun or just to whatever, they're going to be at a disadvantage fighting anybody with any kind of real experience.
Right. Do you pay attention to UFC at all?
No, not as much. I'll watch a little bit of it. I appreciate it. I it's not my sport.
Yeah.
But those are tough guys. They're they fight their butts off, and
A lot of old boxing guys just don't give a shit about UFC. Is that just because they are kicking boxing's ass and you're a little bit jealous?
No. I'm not a jealous kind of guy. They're kicking boxing's ass maybe in the, but it's okay. It's like, you know, nobody gave a shit about politics until Trump came on board. Yeah. Like nobody shit gave about like martial arts and sports really until that crazy sport came on. Like, hey, there's no rules. We just beat each other up. Like, all right, fucking let's all get, you know? So it's a little bit of that. Now, again, I'm not taking anything away from them. Those guys are all tough. They're all great athletes. It's obviously one of the most popular sports that, you know, currently happening. Yeah. But boxing to me, and boxing and MMA completely, it's like apples and oranges. I just love the sport of boxing. I love the art of boxing. I love the more, boxing is more of a chess game than anything, than MMA is, I think. And, but yeah, I have nothing against MMA. I just like boxing a hell of a lot more.
You know, what's funny is way back in 96, 97, Tid and I were hosting a show together. And one of the segments on that show was an MMA UFC segment. And at the time I was like a casual fan of it because like nobody was paying attention to UFC back then. Right. And Tid was diehard. And what turned me into a fan was sitting next to him, watching a UFC event, and listening to him explain the chess match. And I'm like, oh, they're not just fucking punching each other in the balls. I get it now. So that was really cool to me. I wanted to throw this up there. Last weekend, Justin Gaethje had one of the best knockouts I've seen in a long time, kicked the fucking shit out of Dustin Poirier. But this meme has gone viral. Can we zoom on this a little bit, guys? Is it possible? Some woman posted on social media, why can't I find a guy like this? And then Justin Gaethje replies, hey, and she says, no. And he says, I'm literally the guy in the pick. Women don't know what they want, Joey.
That's true. That is very true. Why can't I find love a guy that like
she
this,
shot but him not down.
Like, I know, but that's the guy she wants to find.
Why can't I find a guy like this? I'm literally the guy in the pick.
She needs the glasses. That's sort of what it's down to.
Well, look at his profile picture. He looks like a dork, right? He looks like a bucket headed.
Yeah.
You know, guy with horn rimmed glasses. And she's like, no. I love you that. You can pull it down.
Yeah, it's. Well, you know, it's women. I mean, I'm not going to say, it's like, you can't decide anything sometimes. It's just like, who knows, whatever. Even if you try to ask a dead woman who's passed away something on a Ouija board, it's going to be all over the place. Yes, no, yes, no, maybe. I don't know. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? It's just, I'm like, forgot it. Never mind. I'm cold. Yeah, because you're dead. You know, it's like
your most recent.
Wow. Like it was said to a recent victim or something, Joey. What the hell was that?
Your most recent short, Meet Los Parents. If anyone has not seen it, we cannot show it to you on this channel because YouTube will fucking demonetize us. How bullshit is that?
Well, that is stupid. Yeah.
Right. We have the guy who made it, and if we play it, we're going to get canceled. Fuck you, YouTube. Cancel that. But
that is weird.
We will post the link so everyone can go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Meet Los Parents.
Yes.
Where did this come from, man? What edibles were you on when you dreamt up this script?
Without giving away the whole story, I was doing a show once, and I go, okay, how can I promote it? Let me make a little video. And as I'm thinking about this, I had a thing of Tapatio, and I'm like, you know what? I'll put my face on this Tapatio bottle and I'll promote it. Hey, come see my show. It's going to be hot, kind of thing. Right. So I did that little video, you know, just a short little video. I sent it, you know, I put it out. And then one day I was buying stuff, and I saw a bottle of Cholula with had a female on it. I'm like, you know, it'd be funny to do something with a male and female who were, you know, on a bottle. And then that's how where the story came about. So I just came up with that quick story, and I just shot it like in 5 hours, and it was a fun little video, and it was the hardest part was to get the location, which is a real restaurant.
Do you when you're putting something together like that, mm-hmm. do you think to yourself, like while you're in the midst of production, right? Do you stop and go, are people going to get this? Is this just funny to me? Am I literally just making this for me? Oh, the link is up on the screen right now for everybody.
Yeah. Yes and no. I think, I think that it makes me laugh. I'm pretty certain that hopefully it'll make other people laugh. And I just thought it was funny. And it's, you know, I don't make anything for other people. I make it for me, basically. But I do want other people to like it. And some people won't like it. And the funny thing is, there's somebody who, I'm not going to mention their name, but like I worked with, but I really didn't get along well. You know, I didn't like them that much. They probably didn't like me that much, but we just worked together. And he saw the video. And he became like my best friend afterwards. He just kept on telling me, hey, can I send this? Can I show this guy? Can I show this person? And now he's like happier and nicer to me. And I'm like, that's a dumb little, it's a cute little, it's not dumb, but it's a cute little simple, you know, video. And it's, you know, nothing complex, nothing deep. But he really loved it. So it's just, you never know. Some people may love it. And I've done shit that was great. And people are like, eh, whatever. I'm like, okay. So, you know, we'll see.
I love it for what it's worth. I think it's fucking great. And what I love about it is, I mean, after watching Beautiful Violence, your mm-hmm. Short film that's won 5 million awards.
Feels like it.
Yeah.
There's all my trophies over there. If you see, let me see. Hold on.
Look at this guy. Do you have a rubber stamp acceptance speech for that film?
No, it's all... Let me tell you, I'll be honest. I'm still excited every time I win something because you never know. There's just so many film festivals I didn't win anything, right? Or didn't even get in. So it's very fortunate. I always believe in celebrating the little wins, even if they're little wins. You know, a win is a win. And I'm not like, well, the only thing I don't count as wins are when I get what are they called? It's called the
consolation prize.
Yeah, it's kind of like consolation prize. It's called special mention or honorable mention. I'm like, eh.
Oh yeah,
I got a bunch of. I don't count those. That's like participation trophy. So I don't count any of those as wins, but technically I can. So I would, you know, for all my films, add probably another 10% of wins if you want to count those. But you know, again, it doesn't mean anything, you know. If I won an Oscar and an Emmy, to me, that would mean something more. Even though the other, and I take it back. It's not that I don't mean anything. What I mean is I'm not the kind of guy who goes, yeah, look, I won. And then sit back and just relax. I'm like, I won. Thank you. Now what's next?
What's next?
I want more. Yeah. And that's always, And that's always the thing, but I appreciate everyone that likes my shit. I appreciate anyone. And even people that don't like it, there's people that don't like my shit, but I'm like, enough people like it that I'm pretty sure you're wrong. So, you know, it's that kind of thing. But I love filming. The next two that I'm working on now are going to be dope. One is another drama that's really heavy about a police officer whose 13-year-old son kills himself. And then the other one is a zombie movie. So I'm writing both of them now at the same time, believe it or not.
Tin's upset. Tin's upset, Joey. He wants one of your other projects to come to life.
Which one? The zombie one? I love zombie shit. I can't wait to
do it. Joey, the first time you were on the show, and don't make me like go back in the archives and pull it up, we talked about it. Second time you were on the show, we also talked about it then. This is now the third time we're on the show.
Fourth
time that you've been on this show now, Joey. Yeah. And still to this day, you're telling me that your vampire movie has not come to life.
You don't understand, Joey. Every time I tell Tid, hey, Joey Medina's coming on the show, he's like, you better have Wet Bakula.
I've written more. Wet Bakula is a little different, and I'll tell you why.
Because it'll get you canceled.
Well, it can't get him canceled.
Fuck it. If they try to cancel me for this, they go fuck themselves. This is gonna be such a funny fucking movie. This is definitely a movie where they say, oh, you can't make this kind of movie. I hate when people say that. Fucking hate it. First of all, you can. And it's maybe all those people that you can't do that now, maybe you should get your head out of your ass and be a fucking grown up and just go, okay, it's a comedy. I don't like it, but it's a comedy. I'm leaving it alone. That's the way it should be. There's a lot of shit. I've seen, look, I'm a stand-up comic. I see comics up there that suck, that do material that I think that's horrible. That's the material. Fuck it. What do I know, right? So Wet Bakula is going to be so politically incorrect, and so, but it's going to be so ridiculous, like that. If people be like, it's so fucking ridiculous. We can't be mad at the guy.
You got like a cholo Dracula just walking around.
Do we need to crowdfund this one?
We may need to crowdfund only because it's going to be hard to get a lot of people to invest in this, because they're like, dude, this movie, people are going to hate it. But it's really not. It's going to be like Tropic Thunder, where if you hear about Tropic Thunder, you're like, oh, you shouldn't do that. But it was so popular and so huge, and it was great,
so good.
And it was so good. And that's the thing. I think if something is good, it's good. If it's bad, then you're like, you know what I mean? It shouldn't have done it, because it's totally sucked. And this one has all kinds of shit that could be bad, but it's fucking hilarious. I wrote it, and I'm reading as I read it all over again. As I'm writing, I'm like, oh my god, that's so funny. So
send in your super chats, everyone that's watching right now, to donate to Joey's film Wet Bakula.
Thank you, Stacy.
It could start a whole new trend of like, wet backsploitation movies.
Oh yeah, right? They'll do Wet Back to the Future after that.
I'm telling you, these all need to be crowdfunded. They need to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of crowdfunding, can you explain something to me? Because I'm stupid. Mm-hmm. What's the business model of a short film? How does short film successfully make it worth your while?
Well, it's the simplest way. It's a business card. The best way it can be nominated for an Oscar. Short films are nominated for Oscars.
Okay.
And that's my goal with the one I wrote about a dog.
Yes, I remember that.
And the only thing is, I still haven't found the right dog for it. That's the hard part.
And I knew told you last time we were on the show, Tid's got a collection of mangy mutts at his place. Yeah, I know.
And then the other one is the one, I think this one with the kid who kills himself. It's a matter of the reason I do short films more than features. I did a feature. My first project was a feature. The reason I do short films is because I could afford to do them on my own with my own money.
Sure.
Doing a feature, you can't. But just so the audience knows, it's the process is exactly the same.
Same. Yeah.
There's no difference. It's just a matter of time and day, and that's all it is. It's just, so instead of shooting something in one day, it's going to take you fourteen days to a month to shoot. So it's, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's scary.
But it's, yeah.
But the other big thing, I guess, is with a film, like a feature, people are hoping to put it in theaters and sell tickets. Trying to understand, is there a business model to recoup, or is it about the award circuit and leading to bigger things.
And hopefully leading to maybe making that particular film into a feature. For instance, the movie with the drummer and what's it called? The guy with from the Allstate commercial or the insurance. God damn it.
Whiplash?
The guy was a drummer. Whiplash started from a short film. Sling Blade started from a short film. There's a bunch of movies that started as short films. They raised money and made a better film. So a film, short film can be used as a proof of concept, right? And because if somebody goes, okay, I could see that you're a good director. I could see you're a good writer, you're a producer. Okay, I have faith in, you know, trying to get you more money to do this in a bigger scale. Because it's all it is. It's just basically a small version. It's like instead of making dinner for 5 people, 10 people, you make dinner for 1, but it's the exact same ingredients, just the amount of money you spent on the ingredients, but it's the exact same thing.
I feel like there's some directors that don't know how to make dinner for 1. Like when I hear about James Cameron and like when he says the next Avatar is currently 9.5 hours and it's in the editing room, like Jesus. 9.5 hours, bro. What are you doing? You know? Yeah.
And that's ridiculous.
It's crazy. And he's arguing with the studio because he doesn't want to cut shit.
Yeah. But you know, but I think he actually has, you know, as a director, he has the final cut. And so he can do it the way he wants to, if depending on what his contract is, you know. And but again, these guys have those budgets. You know, there are a lot of directors out there who can just call a studio because they have a deal with them and go, okay, this is my next movie I'm doing. And they're like, okay, we're gonna make it. And that's it. So my thing is,
he had the most gangster quote I've heard in a long time from a filmmaker. I don't know if you heard this or not, but while putting together all the particulars, right, that a producer would do for Avatar 2, the studio was pushing back on him. You can't do this, you can't do that. You're trying to create special effects that don't exist. People want the movie. Let's go, Jamie. Let's go. And he said, hey, this studio we're standing in, Titanic paid for it, so I'll fucking do what I want.
I like that. That's true.
That's a mic drop, shove it up your ass moment, right? Like,
But you got to have a certain level to be able to do that. You know what I mean? The fact that because he was telling the truth,
yeah,
you know what I mean, it made it a whole lot easier.
It's got three of the top grossing films of all time.
I dig you, Joey, but you're getting thrown out before you hit the door.
Oh yeah, no, I agree 100%.
Wait, hold on. Yeah, there's the video of Joey just storming into the fucking studio, past the strike lines, past everything
hot sauce bottles.
We're making fucking wet Bacula, and we're doing it right now, you sons of bitches. That's right. I don't even need money. I just want the studio space.
With a three-legged dog under his arm.
Oh, wait, listen, I'm looking at some of the comments. I just want to tell Jim, I never said I was going to kill Danny.
No, they're talking about. So they were talking about when Danny Bonaducci fought Bob Levy. Bob Levy called
show
talking about how he was going to kill him because Colin Quinn was training him of all people.
That's so funny, right?
Oh, okay. Because it's like funny. I never talked like that. Like even my last fight, I started stand up comedy like when I had my last boxing match,
right?
And even the whole time, I'm joking around. We're doing press, and the guy's all serious, and I'm just joking, making fun of him, and I'm busting his balls, and I'm roasting the guy, you know. And it's just like I never, but I'm gonna kick your ass. My thing is this: is anything I'm ever gonna do, I do it first, then I talk about it later, no matter what it is.
Or some you just don't talk about.
Yeah,
because you can't, because you know cops.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's true too.
Very good. Shmuel Buckman. I hope I'm saying that right. Shmuel Buckman, $1.99. Thank you so much. Another Shuli YT I'm getting addicted to. Damn. Well, thank you for tuning in. And it isn't because of us, it's because of Joey Medina. Let's face facts.
No, it's you guys. They love you.
Nobody likes us, Joey.
I'm just a Puerto Rican they have to watch right now.
How's our pal Russell doing, man?
Russell's doing amazing. I think he's going to be in the East Coast this weekend. I was just in Montreal with Russell.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, it's fun. You know, and you guys know Russell. Everybody knows. I love Russell. He's one of my favorite human beings on earth. He's so generous. He's so kind-hearted and so funny. One of the best comics that has ever lived. And, you know.
I just hope this wedding sticks. I hope this marriage sticks.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. I'm sure, you know, I don't know what his personal issue, not issues, you know, situation is, but you know, I'm sure he's tired of probably paying out money.
You think?
Yeah.
And, there has to be paperwork involved with this one.
I have no idea. I have no idea. But you know, I know his wife. I met his wife many, many times. She's amazing. And if he was going to marry anybody, you know, he's doing great with her, and she's great for him. So, and everybody's happy. So as long as everybody's happy, that's all good.
I figure it's just a matter of time before they throw the Mark Twain prize at his ass, right?
That would be wonderful.
I think. You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't he, right? I got to ask you. Sure, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you your thoughts on what felt like a shock this week, the passing of Paul Rubens.
Oh, yeah. Sad, man, because that was when he went, I never met him, but you know, I was a fan of his work, and I thought he got a bad call when he got arrested for masturbating in the peep show place. What the fuck are you supposed to do to be a critic and take notes? That's what people do there. That is ridiculous. That's like a cop being stationed in the bathroom of a bar and going, oh, DUI, dude, you're in a bar. People are drinking. You know what I mean? So I thought that was bullshit.
Yeah. And we literally said the same thing before we went on air. We were talking about this. Like, if you're at a porn theater and not jerking off, I think you're suspicious.
Seriously.
Yeah, that is. It's like, what's
wrong? I'm going to be pissed. I walk into a fucking porn theater and there's like Siskel and Ebert sitting there fucking reviewing the fucking film or something like
that. Some assholes talking about the lighting.
Yeah. Fuck I'm like, you. Are you fucking kidding me? You might want to move.
Yeah. And so I thought that was weak. You know, that was pussy ass bitch stuff that they did. I thought,
and he suffered for a long time because of that.
Yeah. And I get it because I mean, he had a kid show and now he's doing this, but hey man, how many televangelists, you know, do worse? And not only do that,
all of them. The answer is all of them. But here's the thing. The kid show was originally like an adult stage show. It was like a Broadway show that was very
first. It was, I thought it turned into that after.
No,
it was a stage show first.
Oh,
yeah.
I did not know that.
And then the kids show, and then the serious roles, like...
Oh, it's part of the Groundlings, the Shuly Network is telling us.
Yeah. Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And then Blow. I mean, one of the... From that to Blow, like, unbelievable. He clearly was a genius. It is acting. Yeah. You know what I mean? To be able to pull off the stuff that he did, right?
We've said it before. One of my favorite moments of his career was his part in Cheech and Chong's next movie.
Oh, I love him in that.
Absolutely. He was great. He was an asshole.
And you know, one of the things that I'm a little disappointed in, but like, for instance, on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, his star says Pee Wee Herman. It doesn't have his name.
Mm.
And I thought that was kind of a little cheesy because I agree with you guys. I think he was a great actor. It was just that people really only knew him as... You know, as
well, this character was so extreme. Like, the Pee Wee Herman character was just so extreme that it was like, what the hell is this? Like, you were drawn to it because it was just absurd that there was, you know what I mean, a character like this, right? And that's kind of what made him tremendous.
I wonder how many other people on the Hollywood Walk of Fame are immortalized by their character name and not their real name. There's got to be a few, but
yeah, not many. I'll give you a trivia question.
Yeah.
Who is the only person on the Hollywood Walk of Fame whose star is not on the floor, on the ground? It's on a wall.
I feel like I've heard this before, and now I can't.
Terry Nee says John Wayne.
The correct answer we're looking for is Muhammad Ali.
No way.
Yeah, because he didn't want anyone stepping on his name. That's true. Like,
pretty
like
badass.
The first. I thought I go, oh fuck, who? Spider-Man? Like, because I'm thinking that would make sense. Yeah. Spider-Man on the wall. You know what I mean? I'm like, that would, to me, makes sense. But no, it's Muhammad Ali. And that's one of the beautiful things about working at writing on a game show. Is I learned so much shit that I forget so much of, but it's so much trivia, so many, you know. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like, I just had a Zoom meeting with some people to produce this project. And it's about doctors and nurses and stuff. And this is a true fact. Most doctors, when they graduate medical school and go into interning, for the first 2 years, they have no sex because they're that busy.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, because so they're nerds.
And I actually turned that into a joke. I go, it's called Doctors Without Boners. But it's true. It's very true. It's they don't. So I thought that was really interesting.
I want to switch gears for a quick second and get Joey to comment on this, because in California, this probably isn't a big story. North of the border where we are, Joey, this is a huge story this week. Regardless of what your political affiliation is, guys, if we have the image there, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced that he and his wife Sophie are separating. They were together for 18 years, and apparently he's already on Tinder.
His profile's already come up. Tinder, Justin is 51. Apparently, when we pulled this up, he was very close. He was only 5 kilometers away, and he's active right now. He's seeking a new partner to join his, quote, cabinet of love. Let's fill our souls with warmth and not misinformation. I will melt your heart like a cardboard straw. No Alberta chicks.
That's hilarious.
The internet is undefeated, Joey.
I mean, yes, they are.
It's funny how Trudeau has become as divisive in our society like Trump was or is in the U.S., right?
Why do you think that is, though? Because I don't know much about him. He seems like he's cool.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I know.
Yeah. Listen, not unlike the U.S., you have the hardcore conservatives and you have the liberals, right? And the hardcore conservatives are going to hate him no matter what he does.
Right.
And the fact that he was front and center during the pandemic when it came to lockdowns and when it came to opposing the trucker rally that was blockading hospitals and clinics and doing all this, people lost their fucking minds, right? The vaccine mandates, people lose their fucking minds. And I think it really comes down to that. It's like, imagine all the shit Trump was saying and just invert it. You know, that's.
But I would vote for somebody like that. Like, it was, you know, it's just, you know.
I mean, and there's the whole thing where, you know, he used to be a high school drama teacher, so they mock him. They talk about how the only reason he ever got elected is because he's a pretty boy and his father was the Prime Minister of Canada in the 80s. And, you know,
but shit like that doesn't bother me because
who cares?
That, right. And it's also, when you're a public figure, you're going to get shit
you
like
have
that.
To expect it. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't mind that at all. Like, to me, I'm like, I get it. It's fair.
They dug up the photos of him at a Halloween party where he was in brown face.
I was in brown face once. So the thing is,
hold on. Like, I don't know if you know this or not, Joey. You were born in brown face. Yeah.
That's true. And no, but I did. They used to be, you know, the funny thing is, like, I'm like, I have, to me, everything is based, everything is not all bad or all good. It depends on how things are done. It depends on, now, is blackface generally bad? Of course, because, you know, the way it, But if somebody, you know, for instance, we talked about Tropic Thunder, right? That character wasn't technically blackface. But I don't consider that blackface. I think blackface is the, you know, mammy. I think that's blackface. That's specifically blackface. If someone is in makeup as a black person, if someone who's black is in makeup as a white person, I don't think that's whiteface. I don't think that's blackface. I think, now, if you're doing it as a racist dick, fuck you. But if you're doing it because it's part of a role or it's part of something that you know, needs, then I get it, you know? But not everything is racist. Not everything is wrong. And you just got to look at it. You know, case by case basis kind of thing.
I'm glad you opinion. Say that, because for Halloween this year, I'm going out as the love child of Cheech Marin and Sasquatch. So you better back me,
Kardashian.
Yeah, I got your back. Yeah, there you go. You're gonna look half Armenian.
That's fine. I'm
be hairy.
Yeah, I'm gonna paste on some extra hair. We are right up against the clock, Joey. I know that the lines are blurred right now because of the strike on what you're allowed to promote and not promote, but do you want to tell people where they should go and check out more shit?
Yeah, you know, listen, go to my production website. My latest things are not there yet, but there's a bunch of other stuff. It's called BronxBoyEntertainment.com, BronxBoyEntertainment.com. Obviously on, on Grindr. No, I'm kidding. On Instagram,
see you there,
Joey Medina Comic. Yeah, see you, good fellas. And I'm dressed like the Indian from the Village People. And you know, and what is it called? X now or Twitter? Fuck, I don't know what it is. It's X. Joey Medina Comic as well there. But I don't really pay attention to Twitter. I don't like it that much. And stupid. Yeah, it's just more just people talking shit on there. And then that's it. You know, check out my little films. Go to YouTube, and if you look up my name and Joey Medina Comedy, I think is my YouTube page. You can see all my little films and stuff there. And even if you like weed, please watch El Matador, which is a feature film I made with no money, very low budget, but everyone's in it: Paul Rodriguez, Gabriel Iglesias, a bunch of other people. And it was really fun making, and I did it with no money, and it looks like shit, but it's actually very funny. So watch that one, El Matador, and let me know what you think.
Well, you know what? If you like weed, if you like weed, check out Tid's other podcast, which is so fucking stupid and ridiculous, but hilarious, where they literally just sit around stoned out of their faces, trying to make each other laugh while looking at deep fakes of each other that their audience sends in.
I love that.
It's so stupid and dumb, and I can't stop watching it. I'm binging it like it's the latest step, like it's the latest season of The Bear on Disney, because I can't get enough of that either.
I just started watching. I finished the first season, and now I started the second season.
Isn't that fucking beautiful? It's fucking beautiful, right?
It's shot really well, but the only negative, and it's not even a negative.
Okay.
He is basically the exact same characters he played 100%. On Shameless. There's no difference. It's the same.
I said already, it could have been a spinoff.
Yeah, it's basically Flip, who now is a cook. That's all it is.
He's a fucking genius savant with a fucking attitude, who's street smart. He's got a fucked up family. He's trying to hold them together.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's in Chicago.
The only difference between the show and real life in that situation is in the show there's a lot less cocaine.
Listen, thanks to everyone who's been hanging out with us in the live chat. If you missed any part of this show, make sure you go out of fathers of podcasting.com, or you can find us on the Sunday Nights Main Event Network. You can also find us anywhere that podcasts can be found, whether it's Spotify, Amazon, Google, iHeartRadio, fucking name it, we're there, motherfuckers. And this shit is free. Like, it's free.
That's awesome.
So go check it out. Now, you know, what's not free is what's up next on the Shuly Network. It is for paid members only. If you're a paid member, go on over and join them starting at 9:30. It's Blunder Years 2.0. That'll be a fun show. Tid, I know you're going to go check it out.
Absolutely.
And you're also a subscriber to the Shuly Network.
100% I am. I mean, you should be if you're going to know what's going on around here. You can check out any of my other stuff over at Tid Talk on YouTube, at Notorious TID on all of the other socials, or also the show that we were talking about earlier, Joey, is called Merrill Wanderers. You can check that out at Merrill Wanderers on YouTube. Stupid. And the Sunday night show that'll be coming up next. We do every Tuesday night Merrill Wanderers. Every Sunday night we do the Faye Cough Show. That's right. Fake our off. Good friend Faye Cough. It's the Fake Off Show. You can come check it out. It's a lot of fun. Please, if you ever want to come on and join us while we're watching some of this stuff, Joey, you just let me know. We would love to have you on there.
You just sit there and get baked.
I would love to. I like it, but I do edibles. I do the drinking ones. Those are the best.
That's me too, bro. Me
so much.
All right.
I love those.
We'll set that up. Send
you something. And I want to say hi to and goodbye to Jared and who else over here? We got Jim C-Max. Thank you guys. Thanks for saying hi and hanging out and watching.
Thanks so much, Joey. You're the fucking greatest. You're one of our favorites on this show. I don't say that to everybody. So thanks for hanging out with us, man. We'll do it again real soon.
I'm going to start my new podcast, and I'm going to have you guys on my podcast. So there you go.
Anytime, my man. Of course, you know what? Everyone says that, and then the phone doesn't ring. Everyone says that.
I'm having an issue, though, because I don't want to do just audio. I want to do video as well, but I don't want to do it in the studio, and I don't want to do it with Zoom or anything like that. So I want to do it anywhere. So I'm trying different cameras out. Because I'm going to buy about four cameras, and I don't want them to be like super expensive. Because I already bought a sound capsule thing that costs a lot of money, but it's dope. So anyway, it's a bunch of blah 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 blah. But when I do get it, I'll definitely let you guys know. And we'll have to do it online like this, but that's not a problem.
Hey. Oh, you just sent us a flight.
If you if you need help, if you need help putting that together, let us know, man. We know people, so we'll help you out with that.
Sounds good.
It's been so much fun. And by the way, you're inviting us onto your podcast. You still haven't come through on your promise to have me in one of your films. So I'm still fucking standing by. All right.
Okay. Trust me. Wet Bakula. You guys are both going to be in Wet Bakula.
I already know the
scene I'm going to put you in.
Perfect. That's Joey Medina. That's Notorious T.I.D. Chris Tidwell. I'm Donnie Da Silva. We are the Godfathers of podcasting. This is episode 148 in the books. Thanks so much for hanging out. We'll see you next time.
Peace.
Thanks, guys.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.